Good morning. There's three people awake. Good. Try it one more time. Good morning. Yes, we were talking about, this is the Sunday that's like the tweener between Christmas and New Year's. A little smaller crowd. So during fellowship time, I know you're going to shake some hands. If you want to scoot down to the front, feel free. But yeah, let's do that. Move around, shake a few hands, meet somebody you don't know, introduce yourself. Let's do that. All right. It reminds me of the church where the pastor, somebody kept telling me, said, listen, pastor, before church, there's people carrying on, doing a lot of talking and visiting and hugging. And so can you say something about that? So he got up on Sunday and said, folks, I've been reported that there's been a lot of carrying on. A lot of talking, noise before the service. And he said, I've got a couple words for you. Carry on. So that's nice. Seeing everybody welcome each other. As I said, a little smaller group so we can be a little more intimate in our talking and sharing. So today, the scripture we want to do, and how many folks at some time or another will actually admit to being in my small group? Jason in my small group. I'm going to apologize to you guys because you're going to hear a little repetition here today, but that's okay. Nothing new under the sun. So Jason will be preaching now. I'm going to turn it over to Jason. We are going to have fun, though, as we talk about the Magi. I want to read this verse, one of my favorites, and you've heard it before, but it's one of the all-time great verses. It's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Not at the baby in the manger, not in the stable, but later on as the wise men show up. Listen to this verse. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some of us may have gotten some gold for Christmas, but I doubt if anybody got frankincense and myrrh. We'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe nobody got gold either, Jason. But that's our verse. Six verbs in that one verse. So we'll talk about that. Let us pray, and then we'll have the band come and lead us. Lord, thank you for this time that we can come together to worship you. And just as those Magi, those wise men came to worship the baby, the child, and to give him those gifts, help us to come together now to worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Jonathan does a great job. Give him a hand one more time for leading out on that one. I do have some interesting news, however, as Jonathan and I were talking before the service. We love him up here. He does a great job. But he's about to be kicked out of a small group. And I know everybody's concerned about that, Jonathan. He and Nicole are part of a singles ministry over in Mount Pleasant, and about to get kicked out. You know why? They're going to get married. So give them a hand, yes. Did I build that up enough, Jonathan? I was like, yeah, I was trying to make it sound a little scary there for a moment anyway. Now, Jason said this is, yeah, this sermon was done on December 23rd of 2018. Anybody remember that? Joe's the only one. Okay, good. And this is the follow-up. You know, everybody thinks of those wise men, the Magi, coming to the stable. The baby's in the manger. We see it on the postcards. We see it on the Christmas cards. We see it in the art that's done. But really, they came a lot later. So this is a little bit later after Christmas time. Now, I will ask this question. How many of you are glad Christmas is over? All right, let me keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. All right, let's see. I got to figure out here. Kim, right? You get the Grinch kisses. There you go. Kevin is not the only person that gives out free things in church. For those who were here on Christmas Eve, he gave out a nice basketball. Have you played with it, Jason? So he gave it to Jason's son, not Jason, but yeah. And I've got another little gift I'll give later. We'll hang on to that. All right? So let's read together. You're going to see it on the screen. Matthew chapter 2. Luke and Matthew are the main Gospels that talk about the Christmas story. Luke is more from Mary's perspective. Matthew is more from Joseph's perspective, and it's really geared toward the Jews. So a lot of references to the Old Testament. And I like to look at it this way. You've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you watch the New Testament spill over into the New Testament in a lot of the things that Matthew says. So here we go. We're just going to read through it, and then we'll start talking about it. Matthew, well, I'll tell you what, though. I have another picture, don't I, Joe? Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Everybody see that? This was either during the COVID lockdown. That's the Publix parking lot. Totally COVID lockdown. B, hurricane evacuation. C, Pastor John doing a comedy show. Or Wednesday 9:30 on Christmas. This week on Christmas, it was totally in. I was the only one out there. The only reason I had to go, Jason, I had to go by the ATM. You know, so, but yeah, isn't that cool that Christmas took over this week? And now we're going to follow up right here. All right, here we go. Close Encounters of the Christmas Kind. Reading of Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed. He was already disturbed, folks, but he was deeply disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes, the people that would know, and he asked them where the Messiah would be born. And they immediately said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, because this is what was written by the prophet." And here's the quote from the Old Testament spilling over. "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned those wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, wink, wink, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." Remember that line. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they bowed down. They worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route, or by a different way. God will speak to us through this passage today as we think about after what happened after Christmas. Now, I got this, first of all, let me ask this question. Anybody have a cat? Oh, my goodness. All right, so I'm going to try this. This will not work, but we got a couple maps I wanted to put up on the board, on the screen. And that is present-day Middle East. Now, I went and got this laser thing, you know, to point at it for you. Watch what happens. Over here, everybody see that? Over here, watch what happens. Yeah, that's a trick, isn't it? So right here, you can see Israel. It's very small. It's very small. Matter of fact, bring up the next one, Joe. This is kind of an overlay of the old map and the new map. And Israel's very small, but you see that area that's in like yellow and in the green? That's probably where these magi, that's the word that's used, magi, we'll talk about that, where they came from, probably between 500 and 900 miles They traveled, all right? So who has a cat? Oh, my goodness. Isla, I'm going to toss. Can you catch? All right, here it comes. You know, that's a cat toy. It doesn't work on a screen, obviously. But and I apologize to all the cat owners. I did not have like 20 of them. So, but there is where they are coming from the east. What in the world? They're coming, you know, the people in Israel are right there, but these guys are coming from way off. Took them a while to get there. Let's talk about it. Some of the blanks you can fill in. First encounter was the wise men and the star, or the bright light. For we saw his star in the east. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Wise men. That's the best translation we can come up with, is some sort of word. They weren't really kings. In a way, they were kind of even more important than kings. The magi is the word that's used in the Greek. The magi in the Hebrew is this idea of magistrate or magician. You got both those words. They actually helped pick the king. One of the historians said, unless the magi all agree and support it, no one will become king. So they were like king makers, maybe even above. But we call them the we three kings. We don't even know that there were three. The only reason we say three is because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May have been a huge entourage, actually. And we'll talk about that. But here they come. They were wise men. Anybody ever heard of Mensa? I'm not going to ask if anybody's in it, because Jason, Kevin, and I, we've applied and we made it. You had to be in the top 2% of IQ. Hard to believe that all three pastors got in. We put our IQs together, and we barely slipped in. So you've heard that one before, Jason, I know. So, the wise men, they were very smart. They were looked up to. Now, here's where the Old Testament kind of spills over into the New Testament. About 400, 500 years before that, Israel was invaded by Babylon. And they took them in there as slaves over to Babylon. And there was a young man there that became very famous named Daniel. Anybody know him in the Old Testament? The book of Daniel, he's making prophecies. He's, you know, he goes up against the leaders. He goes in the lion's den. His buddies go in the fiery furnace. He is listed. Now get this. Are you ready? He is listed in the book of Daniel as the chief magi. Whoa, wait a minute. There's that word again. Daniel became one of the magi, one of these leaders, one of these wise men in that area. I have to believe that at some point Daniel began teaching them about the predictions of the Messiah. This verse won't pop up, but in Numbers 24:17, if you want to jot that down, you can read it. It says, a star will rise out of Jacob and a scepter will come out of Judah. The star will rise. There's the bright light. This is in the book of Numbers, folks. That's way back in the beginning. And Daniel probably was talking to these magi, this tribe of leaders, about what to look for in the coming Messiah. They had these Jewish traits. So Daniel had this influence. There's this idea that they knew back from the teaching that had carried through the generations, something special was going to happen in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. So here we go. Number two, the encounter of the wise men and the people of Jerusalem. If you remember, it said, the wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Likely this big entourage comes in. They're going in there. Now, realize that King Herod, I think King Herod's like the Grinch. Kim, I gave you those kiss. The Grinch and Herod, to me, are about the same, except that Herod, his heart never grows bigger. It gets worse. And he just goes insane, literally, killing the babies later on. We'll talk about that. But in this time, Herod was appointed king of the Jews by Rome. He was not born as a king of the Jews, as many were. Think about David. Think about Solomon. And think about Saul coming along, the kings of Israel. And so when these wise men came in and said, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" That was like just hitting Herod right between the eyes. And it says he was deeply disturbed. And get this, because of Herod's behavior, they saw, I guess the people knew that there was something happening. All of Jerusalem became upset. Something's happening. Something's going on. That's why you think it was probably more than three coming in. They might have had a full entourage. They might have had chefs. I don't know, butlers. I don't know who all they had with them. But they're coming in, and the people see it. They go, something's going on. Everybody was a little upset. What's happening? Herod was unbelievably bad, and we'll talk more about that. Number three encounter is King Herod then and the Jewish leaders. So if they come in and say, hey, there's a new king that's been born, Herod, who's king, is upset. Where there's a new king? And he calls all the leaders together, and he says, where is this king? Wise men from the east, when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he assembled the chief priests and scribes and asked them where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea. There was no hesitation. They knew that that's where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem, this little town about 6 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, King Herod is insane. I've already said that. He literally had killed one of his wives. He killed two of his sons because they were threats to the throne. He thought they wanted to be the next king, and he killed them also. He had told them to go ahead and arrest all the intellectual leaders of that time, and when he died, go ahead and kill them all. That's how horrible this guy was. I mean, Herod was like, that's why I think Jerusalem was disturbed too, because they thought, if he gets upset, we're all in trouble. King Herod was insane in the way he treated. He calls these leaders together who probably are shaking. Where's the Messiah going to be born? Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says it. Micah, the prophet. He is a crazy king with the power to do much damage. If you look at it, Matthew chapter 1 describes how Jesus deserves to be the king of the Jews because it gives the lineage. And Matthew chapter 2, where we are, he is worshiped as the king. And we will see that. Number four, encounter number four, is King Herod and the prophetic words of Micah. The words of Micah saying, Bethlehem and the land of Judah are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people. Herod and the leaders, they knew exactly where the Messiah would be born. Herod should have known. He shouldn't have even had to call the leaders together. He should have known that, but he didn't. He calls them together. Micah is just one of innumerable prophets that predicted Jesus to be born in a miraculous way. Somebody in our small group, as we talked about this, and by the way, one of the great things you can do in the year 2025, that's hard to believe, in 2025 is find a small group. You can be a part of it. Jason and I, we do Thursday morning at 10, if you can do that. Kevin does Thursday night every other week. We have Janine and others. We have one men's and women's on Wednesday night right here. So check those out. But in our small group, somebody made this comment, and I loved it. The predictions of the Old Testament were that Jesus, the Messiah, would not only live and be born in Bethlehem, somehow he would go to Egypt, and then he would be in Nazareth. Three different locations. Now, who does that happen to? I don't even know if it happened to anybody else. The reason, and we'll see in a second, the reason he was in Bethlehem to be born, and then they found out that Joseph said, take the child and his mother to Egypt. Get out of here. Herod's going nuts, and we'll see that. But when they came back after Herod died, they went to Nazareth, Joseph's hometown. That's all in the Old Testament. You can study that, find Egypt mentioned, Nazareth, and Bethlehem. Jesus was in all three. That's one of many. I mean, you've got people going, I don't believe Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. Just look at that. That's just one thing, folks. Somebody in our group mentioned that, and I said, that is amazing. All right, another encounter. The wise men and the earthly king, Herod. You know, the first meeting was probably very public because the whole city was upset. This meeting he calls a secret. He summoned them and asked them the exact time of when the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for this child. And when you find him, report back to me. Warning, lie coming up. So I too can come and worship him." Boom. Secret, danger. Public, first time around. Secret, the second time. He wanted to know the exact time. Now, it doesn't tell us the exact time in Scripture, but we might take a little guess. It was under 2 years, because later he does something to the children, the males, 2 years and younger. So we don't know the exact time, but here's this evil king, paranoid, thinking that he's going to have to go and kill this competition to be the king. He's going to have to go and kill that child. Wow. Number 6, the wise men finished that meeting. You wonder if they believed what he said. And then the encounter of the wise men and the star. This is a reprisal. Coming back again. Playing the bridge again. And I noticed today, Jason, that we're missing Stevie back here. And I watched that. He loves to kind of give Stevie some little cues back here. And I go, wait a minute, he's giving me cues now. So I don't think I got him, but that was good. So there's a reprisal here. The star comes back. There it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Think about that, overjoyed beyond measure. When was the last time you were overjoyed beyond measure? Was it when you received a little laser pointer? Or some Grinch kisses? Or maybe something happened at Christmas? We ought to be overjoyed beyond measure when we come in here. I can't ask that question. I got to ask that question later when we get to it. But the songs that we sing are so neat. I love the songs. I love the joy that ought to be there. There's a joy that we have here. If you were here on Christmas Eve, it was amazing. 160 people here. Sorry, Joe, 158. 160 people here, all right? And it was exciting. It was just this moments of just lifting you up. You know, it was great. Today as well, when the music comes along, the star to be overjoyed. And then number 7, the wise men finally encounter the heavenly king, Jesus. And that's our verse. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary's mother. Falling to their knees, they worshiped him. They opened their gifts, presented them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. One of the most action-packed verses in the entire Bible. 6, I can't believe that. We were on Jekyll Island with our youth group probably 30 years ago. Man, I'm that old, yes. And we were down there, and Mercy Me was the band that was playing. Y'all know, I can only imagine. Don't want me to sing it? Nope. And we're enjoying that. Well, the guy that spoke that week was apparently the chaplain for the Texas A&M football team. I remember his first name was Johnny. I know it wasn't Johnny Manziel. Wasn't he the quarterback? It wasn't him. But the guy named John, and he shared this. And I've always remembered that. 6 verbs in one verse telling us what we need to be doing. And it's what the wise men did when they encountered the heavenly king. It was true worship. They were true seekers. Do you know what? Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you and not harm you. But then 29:13 is a great verse. Check this out. You will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. The wise men were seeking with that. They had traveled 800 miles, 500 to 900 miles. Weeks, months, maybe a year or so. They were seeking with all their heart to find the Messiah. They found him. If you want to find Christ every day, get up and say, "Lord, I want to see you today." All right? That little mouse laser point did not work, but I went over to Harris Teeter this morning and get that. I had a divine appointment with a guy I'll tell you about at the end of the message that happened this morning. Why? Because I went and bought a doggone laser pointer that doesn't work. But who cares? I got to meet somebody and talk to them, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. Let's now look at that verse. Well, before we get to that, the gifts. You ever think about those gifts? Gold. Mary and Joseph were going to have to go to Egypt. Probably not a cheap trip. Probably a lot of things they needed to pay for. Guess what? God provided gold. Matter of fact, that gold probably lasted and helped them out as a family for years. Frankincense. Frankincense was a burnt type of offering, a great aroma that was a reminder of burning offerings to God. Wait a minute. Now we got a gift for a king and for God. Are you telling me that Jesus is God? Yes. And then third, here's a weird gift for a baby or a child. Myrrh. That is like, let's go in and somebody has a baby. We're going to go over there and present them a little gift. Hey, we got some embalming fluid we want to give you. It's associated with death. You know, or hey, we went down to McAllister's or Sturr's, and we want to give the baby the funeral preparations here. You know, that's just strange because they knew God had implanted in their hearts that Jesus would be dying for our sins, sacrificing for us. As a matter of fact, in Hebrew, the word myrrh is more, pronounced more. And it was associated by the rabbis with Mount Moriah. Think about this. Mount Moriah was where Abraham took his son Isaac up the mountain and was going to sacrifice him because God told him to. You remember that story? And Isaac, the little boy, goes, hey, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. He's carrying the log. He's carrying the wood for the sacrifice like Jesus carried the cross. Well, guess what? They believe that Mount Moriah and Calvary are very close, might even be the same place. Think about that. Moriah, more. Myrrh, right there given to the baby, given to the child, signifying what he was going to do in his life. Well, here we go. So now it's our turn. It's our turn to encounter the child, to encounter Jesus. What are the six things that we must do? Number one, come into the house. That's what they did. They came into the house. Notice it wasn't a stable. Notice it wasn't the cave or the manger there. They came into a house, and there they were. And I challenge us. It's important. And you guys are so impressive being here on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. It's kind of like everybody's off a little bit from work and so forth. But you guys are here. Many people might be watching online. And people actually sent me messages, said, hey, I can't. There's six watching online, Joe says. Probably Kevin and Libby. That makes me nervous. And as we think about coming together into the house, does anybody remember the first song we sang? Besides Jonathan and the band? What was it? House of the Lord. Here we are. House of the Lord. We come into the house. There is something special about coming together to worship. Now, there are people that say, hey, I can worship God on the golf course. I can worship God in the fishing boat or in the sleeping in. What was the guy who said his fishing boat was called the Word and his pastor? And they'd call up and say, well, the pastor's in the Word right now. You can't bother. Or he's visiting with the Green family. That's a golfer. He's visiting out there with the Green family. So all of those things to say, when we come together, when you make the effort to come in here, we seek with all our heart, we will find him. Number two, see Jesus. What do you see when you come in? What do you see when you come into the house? What did the wise men see? They're going, hey, look at the artwork over here on this wall. Look at this over here. No, they were looking at the child. That's what they were looking for. Look at that furniture.
No.
Look at the child. They probably didn't have furniture. Look at that mat. No. The child. And as they look at the child, they realize we are looking at the King of the Jews, the Messiah. Oh, it goes more. They've come all these miles, these wise men, these magi, and they've found what they were looking for. My question to us, to me and you, is do we find what we're looking for when we come into worship? What are you looking for? You know, you're checking out. Vance Havner once said, it's not, used to be that people would close their eyes during the prayer. He said, now people aren't closing their eyes, they're eyeing the clothes. Think about that a minute, you'll figure it. You know, looking around, saying, oh, yeah, nice shirt. You know what? When we come in here, there are times we talk to each other, we carry on like we said earlier, but ultimately we focus on the cross. We focus on the child. We focus on Jesus. See Jesus. All the things that he did. The manger, the miracles, the cross, the empty tomb, the promise of him saying, I am with you. He is here with us right now. He's with you. He's sitting beside you, with you, talking to you. All right? And I tell you, I've had that happen this morning at Harris Theater. I'll tell you in a minute. All right? Are y'all excited about that yet? All right. Number three, fall on your knees. Fall on our knees and bow down. Fall on our knees and bow down. This will be the right perspective, the right humility, the right understanding of who Jesus is and who we are. It's not about us. It's about him. When we submit to him, when we bow down, we begin to see things happen that are just amazing. These are king makers. These are very important people who've traveled many miles. They see this child and they bow down to a child, a toddler. It's amazing. It's amazing. They knew something special about that child. Number four. And so obviously we do that as well. We need to bow down before him and worship him. Praise, meditation, celebration. When we come in, I know a lot of us can't sing, but we should make a joyful noise. Right, Jason? I mean, it's like, there are moments you go, I just don't know about this. Just go ahead and let it rip. You know, just stand there. Just let God know that you're praising him. Now, the person next to you, don't worry about them, all right, or in front of you. But you just lift that joyful sound. And you know what? That's what worship is, to sing, to listen to God, to obey what he says, to imitate Christ, and to invite others. And then we worship him, and then fifth, we open our treasure. Open your treasure. Open your gift, your heart. Time, talents, tithes and offerings, your total self. I remember we got Disciple Now coming up. That's going to be a big emphasis over the next few weeks. I appreciate we've got two houses already set up as host homes. We might need one more. I hope we do. We got Bible study leaders we're talking to coming in. We're starting to get sponsors for the kids. We're going to get food helpers. I hope we have 25 or 30 students involved. Can you imagine coming in here on Sunday morning and have 25 or 35 youth right here? Wouldn't that be cool? But all these talents and time, we're putting this together because it takes an effort of the whole church, really, to minister to young people. And that's what this is all about, for us to give our time and talents and all of our gifts to him, to bring those gifts to church. Secondly, and number six here is, and then to present it to him. To present it to him. To present not just that time and talent, but ourselves, our whole being. Remember what it said, seek with all your heart and you'll find him. Actively sacrificing all we are and all we have. And thinking, by the way, as Kevin said the other night, it's his birthday. You know, it's the only birthday where everybody gets together and exchange gifts with each other instead of the person whose birthday it is. Can you imagine that? Pat, can you imagine your birthday? Everybody comes and they all exchange gifts. And all right, Pat, we'll see you later. All right? Yeah. Don't tell me that's happened. No, I know it hasn't. So you know what? When Christmas comes around and we think about the baby, the child, who Jesus is, we present our gifts to him. One of the ways we do that, you know, obviously there's giving through offerings and so forth. Sometimes you want to come and put a praise on the cross. Or maybe a prayer concern. You just write it on a piece of paper. Nail it to the cross. Share that with him. You can write it on your Connect card, a prayer request that you might have. So all of that to say, what are the gifts that people have? And I know in your outline there's a bunch of gifts. I'll just read through these. I don't need anybody to raise your hand or point at anybody. But especially with that laser, Isla, don't point that at anybody. Yeah. All right, you ready? Singing. Playing an instrument, hosting a small group, running and helping with audio-visual equipment, preparing food for breakfast on Sunday morning. Right, Loria? No? You were looking at Joe. That's pretty good. Preparing food, helping out on Sunday morning with food. Greeters. Steve, greeters do a great job, don't they? Who's greeting this morning? I knew it. Yeah, I knew that. Greeters. Also, look at this, other things that we need. Children's workers. Oh, my goodness, there's one. Youth workers. Prayer warriors. You know somebody needs prayer. Who would be a good prayer warrior? All of us need to be praying. Leading a small group. You know, hey, there's not a small group for me. Start one. Lead a small group. Get others to help. Giving to the angel tree. Operation Christmas Child. Tithing. Regular worship attendance. Fellowship with others. Being around other Christians, inviting people to worship, getting those little cards. I know there's some in the pews, there's some out back, a little card. And, boy, I'll tell you, here we go again. I put one in my pocket today going into Harris Teeter. Did I tell you I was going to tell you a story about Harris Teeter? I put one in my pocket. There it is. It's not that. That's my credit card. So anyway, man, I lost it right there. Inviting people to worship. Daily quiet time. Visiting shut-ins. Hospital visits. Helping load the bulletins. Special offerings. Camp chaperones. Disciple Now workers. Sharing on social media. I tell you what, if you're on Facebook or Instagram, any of those, and a post comes up from the church, share it with all your friends. You know, I think we can do that. Share it out there. Let them go. We've got a couple of folks that have a gift of writing cards, a good friend, writing cards to people, maybe guests who've come, and then just go on and on, those who are hurting, helping out those. What is your gift? I want to close with two stories then, and then think about, you know, there really are three kinds of people in this passage. There are those who hate Jesus. There are those who were indifferent or didn't care, and then those who worshiped. Herod wanted to kill him, and they later on in the chapter, he sends his troops in to kill all the male babies 2 years and younger. Imagine that. I mean, just horrible. Hatred of Jesus, hatred of the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, hatred, violence. Against it. You know people that are against the church. You know people that are against Christ. You know the people that are indifferent. They don't care. That's probably most of the people you run into. You're going to invite them over and over and they don't come. They don't want to. They don't care. That was the Jewish leaders. Can you believe it? They knew where Jesus would be born, the Messiah. Who went? Not them. These pagan star-watching magicians who happened to know a little bit about the Messiah, they went to see him. So here we go. We had a couple at church that worked in the children's area, but it was very stressful. They said, John, we're just so stressed out every week that we work in the children's area. Now, I will say this. Many times we need help in the children's area, in the nursery or wherever it might be. But if you love that, jump in there and do it. But the stress was there. And this couple was sitting in church, and they noticed that all the people around them, the older folks, stopped coming. They weren't there. And they came and talked to us about, they said, hey, what about all these people that aren't here? He said, they don't have a ride to church. They started a bus ministry. And they started going and picking up these little old ladies and bringing them to church. And Kim, you know who I'm talking about, probably. So, and then at some point they were sick, and I got to drive that bus a few times. It was so cool, folks. I'm telling you. I'm going to just describe the five ladies that we pick up on this bus. One lady's from New York City, a little African-American lady. Another lady was from Puerto Rico. I think she was also from New York City. We had another lady who worked for like the FBI or the Department of Defense in D.C., kind of the upper echelon group there. And we had a lady from the farmland of Virginia. And we had another lady, a little blind lady that came. And these little ladies would talk, and I got to hear them driving them to church, just hear what they were saying. And the one little lady, the blind lady, had a great sense of humor. See, I need to spend time with more of those people. And she said, you know why the stoplight turns red in the middle of the intersection? You know why it turns red? I said, no. Why is that? She said, you would too if you had to change in front of everybody. So, yeah, this was the kind of stuff I heard, Jason, on that bus from these ladies. It was a fun little group. But you know what? Lives were changed because that couple said, I need to find a ministry to do. Don't just be a spectator, but get involved. Tommy Lasorda, some of you know who that is, said the best pitcher ever in the world is probably sitting up in the stands eating popcorn because he doesn't want to get out there and work. He's not willing to get in the game. All of us have a place of ministry. Find your place. Here it is. So I went to get that little laser pointer at Harris Teeter. My wife goes, man, you might have to go to Mount Pleasant to find that. I said, let me Google it up. Harris Teeter, right down the street. So I go over there. I come in. Not only that, then I saw the Grinch kisses. They were on sale. Sorry to say that, Kim. Everything for Christmas is on like half price right now. Just a little commercial. And anyway, I'm coming out. Now, I worked in a church in Tennessee over 28 years ago. I was in Bradley County, Cleveland, Tennessee, youth minister there for 9 years. I come out of Harris Teeter, you know the one on Harborview Road. I come out, I take a right, and I look up, and there's a truck right in front of me. Tennessee license plate. Guess what county? Bradley County. I walk right up to the window. Nobody does this, you know. I walk right up. Hey, man, are you in Cleveland, Tennessee? He said, yes, I am. I said, I was youth pastor there at North Cleveland Baptist Church. He said, wow. He said, I went to church right down the street. I probably saw him play basketball. He had an offer to play basketball at Carson Newman where I went. But we talked for a few minutes. His brother lives like two blocks from where I live. And I said, let me give you a card. One card, remember I said? Took one card with me, gave him that card. He hands me a card. He owns a car wash place up in Cleveland, Tennessee. And he said this. He said, I have a guy that works for me, rough dude. He says, this guy, he said, people that work at a car wash, some of them are pretty rough. He said he has a pentagram, which is Satan worshiping, pentagram tattooed on the back of his head with horns. Pretty scary. But he said, you know what? He said, I welcomed that guy into my business. And he said, he showed him his card, which has a scripture verse on it. He started talking to him about King David, which happens to be our topic in Disciple Now. He said, you know, David committed adultery. He committed murder. He lied. And yet God used him in a great way. There's hope for anybody. It doesn't matter what your past is. God has a place. And here's what got me, because we're telling this story right there in the parking lot of Harris Teeter. He said, you know what? After all that talking and praying, he said, last week that guy came up to me at work and said, I went to church last Sunday. I said, wow. You never know when you're going to come face to face with an opportunity to share about Jesus. you folks, we're going to, I don't know how many are here today. Joe, you may know. How many people are here today? 75, 80, 70. Okay. What if we turned loose 70 people this week all across Charleston and say, hey, talk about Jesus. It doesn't have to hit them over the head with it. Just to share what God's doing in your life. 70 folks going out could make that difference. And I want to challenge us to do that, just like the wise men. We don't have to go 800 miles. We can go to Guatemala. How many miles is that? It's a couple thousand. But you don't have to go like on a camel for months. You can do it at work. You can do it at the grocery store. You can do it in the parking lot of the grocery store. Take one of those cards with you and share with somebody. So that's our message today. The wise men. Are we like Herod? I don't think we're like Herod. You wouldn't be here today if you were like Herod. Are you like the indifferent Jewish leaders? I don't think so, or you wouldn't be here today. Are you ready to truly worship him like those wise men? I think so. Let's pray. Father, today we're challenged by this picture that we see of these wise men bowing down before a child, opening their gifts, presenting them to him. Today, may we do the same. May we see you. May we bow down. May we also open our gifts, whatever it is, maybe our heart, to say, Lord, I trust in you. Come into my heart and save me. And now to go out and, as the wise men said, they went a different way. They were different people after they met Christ. May we be different as we go out today. Lord, we love you, and we give this commitment time to you now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. By her granddaughter, wonderful, wonderful Christian young lady. And it goes along with what we've just said. It says, Jesus was a baby, snuggly little baby, just like our Grady, grandbaby there. Then a toddler, a sweet toddler who probably enjoyed hugs, a toddler. Then a little boy, a teenager, an adult. He was perfect through it all. As much as I would love to think our kids are perfect, they were born sinners and Jesus wasn't. He was born perfect and sinless. He willingly bore our cross. Mary's heart, can you fathom the strength and the hurt? Can you imagine how many times she must have cried out asking God why? What a heart she had. I pray my heart grows to be more like hers. Imagine your perfect baby who never sinned, willingly bearing a cross for the wickedness of the people. For the people who would deny him as king, for the people who would claim to be followers of him and never adjusting the posture of their hearts to truly reflect it. For the men who laughed as they drove those nails into his hands. And he still loved them. I know Christmas can be hard, loss, loneliness, grief. It's easy to say it's not fair. But please pause this season. Please be thankful that our life truly isn't fair. If I was given what was fair and what I truly deserved, it would be a quick ticket out of here. I'm no greater than a murderer, and that is really humbling. Pause today and take yourself to the manger, to that house where our king was born, where he was wrapped in cloth, and they said to also be wrapped on bodies that would be buried, a foreshadowing of his death. Pause and praise, for we get one shot at securing where we will spend eternity. I pray that if you don't have a genuine relationship with Christ this season, you'll open your heart to do so. It doesn't guarantee an easy life. In fact, I think it might even be harder. But doesn't he deserve our unwavering love? This past Christmas wasn't just about the presents, even our kids. It's about a Savior coming to us and what we don't deserve and what we aren't entitled to and what isn't fair. And I'm thankful because I need his mercy. What a blessing it is to celebrate the birth of our King. He came, he bore the cross, he died for our sins, and we should never get over that. Isn't that beautiful? So today, as we come to this time, I always share one or two announcements. A big announcement, to, I think, is Disciple Now coming up. You'll see that up there. And then the one before that I skipped over. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we will be at 1416 Fort Lamar Road. Did I get that right? And that will be at Kaylee and Addie's house. And Isla, you, if you bring that little pointer, just don't point at anybody, okay? That'll be good. All right, and then Disciple Now coming up as well. James Island Outreach, check those dates coming up as well. And Jason, do we have another song?
We do.
Let's pray and turn everybody loose, right? 70 of us going out. Let's make a difference as we go. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the challenge that you give us day in and day out for the message of the Messiah, the love that you give us that we don't deserve. Lord, we thank you for that. Let us praise you, worship you every moment. And pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.